I'm thankful that all of you are here, but in a very particular way, I'm very thankful that all of you boys and girls are here as well. And I want you to know that I am going to preach a sermon not only to everyone who is here, the whole church family, of course, as I always do when we gather, but children, I want you to pay really close attention tonight as well. Not only because this is something that I, Pastor Jeff, came up with, this is a word from the Lord tonight in Mark chapter 10. So let's take our Bible and go to Mark chapter 10. And many of you brought your Bibles, and you can go to Mark chapter 10. And tonight, as you're turning there, I want you to listen very carefully to a sermon that I've entitled, Jesus' Special Love for Little Children. Jesus' Special Love for Children. Okay, Mark chapter 10. It's very short, so if you have your Bible open, you can follow with me. Mark 10, beginning in verse 13. Mark 10, 13, and I will read all the way to verse 16, and then we'll pray and look into God's Word together. This is the Word of the true and living God. Mark 10. And they were bringing children to Jesus so that He might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, He was indignant, and He said to them, "Permit the children to come to Me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And He took them in His arms and began blessing them, laying His hands on them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that we can read Your Word, the Bible. We thank You, God, that You have given us the book, the Holy Bible, the truth that will never, ever change. It is our only authority. And Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are so loving and patient and merciful and kind. And tonight we're going to look at Your great love that You have for little children. We pray that You would teach us, that You would give us open ears to hear. And Lord, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would grant the many children here in this place ears to hear the Word of God. And that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would allow them to respond to the Word of God in saving faith to the Lord Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you a story about a man named Hugh. A man named Hugh. His name is Hugh Binning. He was born into a godly home, just like we heard from Jill a little bit ago. He was born into a godly home, and he learned the Bible from a very young age. He went to a church. It was a very good church. And he heard the preaching of the Word of God every single week, just like you do. He had a very godly mom and a very godly dad. And as a young child, he came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this young boy, Hugh, wrote that God's glory, that is, honoring God and praising God, is the main reason for our lives. As a young boy, Hugh had it exactly right. Glorifying God, praising God, is the main reason for our lives. Well, Hugh became a pastor. He became a pastor at about 20 years old. And he was a young boy who grew up in the country of Scotland. And as he became a pastor, he served the Lord. He loved the Lord. He preached the Word. But you know what happened? He only served the Lord for a couple of years, because the Lord allowed him, by His amazing grace, God had him to die at 26 years of age. As I read about the life of Hugh Binning, a Scotsman, a wonderful Scottish preacher, there's a number of lessons that I thought about as I learned about Hugh Binning. Number one, it is very possible for young people to be godly. And number two, I think there is a great contagiousness when you have a singular devotion to Jesus. When you want to follow Jesus, it encourages other people to do that as well. Number three, in learning about Hugh Binning, I learned the importance of studying the Word of God. That young man knew his Bible and he preached his Bible. And fourth, we see the ultimate aim to glorify God. Nothing could be better in the whole world than to have your great desire than to live for the glory and pleasure of God. But you know what? One more lesson about the young man, Hugh Binning. And boys and girls, this is very important. To live every day as if it were your last. Because one day it will be. And Hugh died when he was a 26-year-old young man. You don't know when it will be your last day, but you want to live completely for the Lord Jesus. And I want you to know, as we begin our time together tonight, God loves the little children. And He loves saving, equipping, using, empowering, and magnifying His great name through young people. I want you to know, boys and girls here tonight, God loves to use young people for His glory. I want to remind you of the young man Joshua in the Bible. The man Joshua, he was the servant, he was the helper of Moses from the time that Joshua was just a young man, the Hebrew text says. He was just a young boy, and he was a helper to Moses. I want you to think about the man Josiah. Josiah became a king, when he was 8 years old. That's younger than some of you kids that are here tonight. Josiah was 8 years old, and he sought the Lord in his early years, and God allowed him to bring revival. I think of that young little Jewish girl. I love the story in 2 Kings chapter 5. A little Jewish girl who was ripped away from her mom and dad and taken to a faraway land in Syria to the north. And when she was there, she said to her master, "Oh, that I wish that my master, who is a leper, his name was Naaman, I wish that he would go to the prophet of God and he could be cured of his leprosy." And because of her good news that she shared, Naaman went to Elisha and God healed him of his leprosy. I think of the young man Germanicus in Fox's Book of Martyrs. He was a young man in the early church who gave his life to the Lord Jesus, but he ended up dying for the Lord Jesus as a young man. And then there was a 16-year-old girl, Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us. Her name was Denisa. She was 16 years old. She had a godly father and a godly mother from the city of Rome. But she ended up dying for her faith when leaders told her to either recant and deny Christ or die. And she chose to die for the Lord. Boys and girls, I want you to know again, Jesus wants to use you. He wants to save you. He wants to do great things in you and through you for the rest of your life. Tonight, here's what I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine Jesus is right here. And He's knocking at the door and He wants to come in and have a message that He gives to you tonight through His Word. Boys and girls, I want you to imagine Jesus writing a letter to you. Some of you have a pen in your hand right now and a piece of paper in front of you. Imagine Jesus writing a letter and inviting you by name to the best wedding, the best party that could ever be imagined. Boys and girls, I want you to imagine Jesus coming to you and talking to you. And I want you to imagine Jesus saying, "I want you to come to me, boys and girls. Come to me and you will find true happiness and true rest and true peace for your soul." What we're going to look at tonight in Mark chapter 10, if you have your Bible open, is we are going to see the special love that Jesus has for children. Now, I'm going to work through this fairly quickly. It's pretty straightforward, but I want to work through it briefly, and then I want to give a lot of application as we walk through it at the end. I want to show you the special place for children in the plan of God. and show you the great love that Jesus has for the children. Look with me in your outline. Number one, let's focus our attention on the strong hope that godly parents have for their children. I want to talk about verse 13. Look at what we read. And they, that is parents, were bringing their children to Jesus so that Jesus might touch them. And this is what every godly parent does. This is the greatest desire of every Christian parent. Loving parents who say, I want to bring my children to Jesus. And I want Jesus to bless my children. It's the ultimate desire and passion of every father and mother. I want to take my kids to Jesus. This is why we love to pray for families. When the kids are born, when the kids are young, we commit, as it were, as a church. We don't have like a child dedication, but we love bringing families up front with young children so that we can commit the parents and come alongside of the parents so they can teach and discipline and instruct and nurture their children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. I want to remind every parent here today, this is the greatest blessing you could ever give to your children, to lovingly, to daily, to sincerely evangelize your children. Every single, you're like the in-home resident evangelist for every single one of the children. You can't bring them to Jesus physically because He's not here right now. Where is Jesus? He's in heaven. But you bring your children to Jesus by evangelizing them, by giving them the Word of God. How do we bring our children to Jesus? We are to love our children to Jesus. We are to lead our children to Jesus. Parents, let me just talk to you for just a moment. Even grandparents as well. Even church family, so that you can know how to come alongside of the families. How is it that we can bring our children to Jesus so that He might savingly touch them and sanctify them? Couple of ideas. Number one, evangelize your kids with a gospel-saturated home. Number two, discipline your children with a Bible-saturated home. Pray with your children in a prayer-saturated home. Encourage your children to live always for the glory of God by reminding them this world doesn't revolve around the kids. This world revolves around God and His great glory. Call your children to live a life fully sold out for God. Model for your children a Christ-intoxicated life. Let them see that living for Jesus is like the normal ebb and flow of the Christian life. Make a conscious decision to give your children totally to God in their life, no matter what the cost. How do we bring our children to Jesus? We realize that if we're going to parent well, that's going to involve significant time commitment and sacrifice and inconvenience to our agenda. But it's always according to God's good and wise plan. And I think another way that you can bring your children to Jesus that isn't taught as much as it needs to be in our day, but let your marriage sing with delight. And as your children look at your marriage, that is a picture of the beautiful gospel that God has given. We see here in verse 13 that parents were bringing their children to Jesus. This is a strong hope for every parent. Boys and girls, this is why your parents do family worship. This is why your parents bring you to Christ's fellowship. This is why your parents lead you in the Word of God. This is why your parents pray with you. This is why your parents discipline you. Why? Because they want to bring you to Jesus. This is the greatest hope of every Christian parent. But look in your outline at number two. What happens at this point? Not only is there a strong hope, but the sad misdirection of the disciples. So what do the disciples do? Verse 13, the disciples rebuke the parents. It's actually a pretty strong word. The disciples were pretty angry. They were upset. They were vocal, they were loud at rebuking the parents. Because they said, you know, Jesus, he's too busy. Jesus has a lot going on. We're traveling to Jerusalem. There's a big crowd here. There's a lot of people here. Children are an inconvenience, they were saying. Children are a bother. Jesus does not have time for the children, the disciples were saying at this moment. I think the disciples were kind of sizing up the crowds and thinking, you know what, children are unhelpful at this point. They're a hindrance. What can children bring? What can they offer? It's tragic. It's not only a problem that the disciples had, it's a problem that our culture has all around us. Now, children are, they get in the way. Children are inconvenienced. That's what the culture would say, but that's not what God would say. That's not what Christian families would say. That's the sad misdirection of the disciples. Well, what about number three in your outline? Well, then, what does Jesus do? Imagine you've got moms and dads bringing their children to Jesus, saying, Jesus, I want you to touch my children. I want you to bless them and pray for them. And the disciples get angry. Look third at the sincere passion of Christ. Jesus sees what is going on in verse 14, and he is angry. He's indignant. He's moved with anger. I think the idea is he raised his voice. He was loud. Jesus loves the little children. Maybe you've heard this before. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in God's sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He does love the little children, but sadly, many in our world today do not love the little children. And I want you to know, boys and girls, if I can have your eyeballs for a sec, kids, look at me. Jesus is never too busy for the children. He is never, ever too important for the children. He doesn't push you away. He doesn't neglect you. He doesn't overlook you because you're short or small or young. Do you want to know what makes Jesus really angry? Boys and girls, do you want to know what makes Jesus really, really angry? It's putting a barrier in the way for children to come to Jesus. That makes Jesus really upset. I was reading this week about a man who was visiting a country of the country of Bolivia, and he was a Christian, and he was there for some meetings with some political officials. And before he had a really big lunch, a huge lunch, and it was really important, really big, important meetings. He was in his hotel room earlier that morning, and he was having a meeting with some other people on his traveling team. And somebody walked through the hotel room and had a small little 11-year-old Bolivian girl with him. And the Christian was a little bit angry at this. I mean, he was busy. He was in the room. He was engaging in conversations. And so he was a little bit angry. And the Christian took a book and he autographed the book and he gave it to the child. And he began walking the little 11-year-old girl to the door to kind of let her go out and go back home. Until the little girl looked up at the Christian and she said, I came here because I wanted to meet you. And I wanted you to share the good news of Jesus with me because I want Jesus in my life. Well, that Christian was totally humbled. Totally humbled. And he sat down and he sincerely walked through the good news of the gospel with that little 11-year-old girl. And she received the Lord and went back to her family and shared the good news of Jesus with her family. I want you to know that Jesus has a great passion for the young children. He's never too busy for the young children. He's not too important, too busy, too occupied to have a great care for the young ones. But notice what Jesus says now. Now in your outline, number four, I want you to see the special place. Not only do we see Jesus being angry at the disciples because of what they did, but now verse 14, you got to get this. The special place. Permit the children to come to me. Did you hear that? Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Threefold response. What does Jesus say when he's angry at the disciples for hindering children? Number one, let the children come. Bring them. Bring the children to me. Second, don't hinder them. I think it's implied in the original language, stop hindering them. Don't put anything in the way that would be a stumbling block that would prevent children from coming to Jesus. Because third, the kingdom of God belongs to such. Meaning the category of children. The class of young children. These kids, Luke has the babies. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. There was a man by the name of Robert. He was a missionary, and he went to a meeting to preach the gospel one night. And when he got there, and it was really bad weather, it was bad winter weather, and when he got there, it wasn't really well attended. There were few people that were there. And so the man, Robert, was really discouraged. I mean, he was kind of sad. He was prepared to preach, and he was looking forward to a big gathering, and just a couple of people were there. But although he was a little bit discouraged, he preached his heart out. He preached the message. And as he was preaching, he noticed way back in the corner by the organ, there was a little boy. A little boy who was working with the organ. That was his job in the church, to work with the organ pipes. And before Robert was finished with his sermon, that little boy heard the gospel and he said, I want to be a missionary. And that little boy grew up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And that little boy was David Livingstone. David Livingstone was one of the pioneer missionaries who went to Africa. And he said, God, I will go anywhere in the world as long as you go with me. And David Livingstone said, God, there is only one safe and happy place in my life, and that's in the will of God. We love the special place that Jesus has for children. I want all of us, look at verse 14 again. Do you see it there in your Bible? Let this sink deep into our ears. Jesus said, let the children come to me. I love the open arms. I love the invitation. That's one reason why we offer a nursery. But you know what? We love having kids in corporate worship. We love having the young people in corporate worship. We love having the kids in the prayer meeting. We love having you here. Why? Because we want you to be here under the Word of God, and we want you to know that the arms of Jesus are always open and available to the boys and the girls. But verse 15. Jesus has another thing to say. Look in your outline. Number five, the striking example. Look at the striking example now that children serve for all believers. Verse 15, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not, or maybe if we were more literal from the Greek, he will not ever, ever, ever enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, listen up, truly I say to you, if you don't receive the kingdom of God, what's that? That's the sphere of salvation where Jesus reigns as the saving, the glorious king. If you don't receive this kingdom like a child, you'll never, ever, ever enter the kingdom. Now, we got to be careful. He didn't say be childish to get into the kingdom. He says be childlike. In your outline, I give you five reasons. Number one, Why are they a great example for all of us? Number one, because small children are helpless. They're helpless. They offer nothing. Number two, they are hopeful. Children are hopeful. They take you at your word. If I say I'm going to come home and bring you a candy bar, they take me at my word. Number three, they are a striking example because they're trusting. They have full faith. They have a sustained faith. They have a constant faith. They trust. Number four, they are dependent. They fully rely. They 100% trust. They're dependent. They can't do it on their own. And number five, they're happy. Kids are happy. I mean, they're just fearless. They're unworried. You could cross a dangerous river and the kid could be smiling if you're carrying them. Because the kids are happy. They're free from doubt. They're free from the attachment of worldly possessions. Kids are humble enough to receive a free gift. They are. They're humble enough to receive a free gift. And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child will never enter at all. Number six in your outline, let's just end with this. In our text here, the secure affection. Jesus takes the little children. Luke tells us these are babies. These are young ones, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, young enough for him to scoop them up in his arms. And Jesus will take the children in his arms and he begins blessing them. This is one of the strongest proofs, I believe, that children who die go immediately to heaven. Jesus never blesses a non-believer, but he blesses the children and he lays his hands on them. It's a picture of grace. It's a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of the tender affection of Jesus who bring nothing but their need. Sheer grace. Sheer grace. What affection Jesus has. He's willing to lift up children and scoop them up in his arms and affirm his great love and bless the children and lay his hands upon the children and reaffirm his love and his desire to save and use you for his glory for the rest of your life. It's a great account. It's a very simple account. It's a short little story, but you can imagine Jesus walking and all the parents bringing their children to Jesus and the disciples get angry, but then Jesus responds with indignation. Let the children come. Boys and girls, if I can have your attention for a moment, I have just given the meaning of the text. But boys and girls, I want to give a word to each of you tonight as well. I want you to listen up for just a moment. Boys and girls, this is in your outline. Number one, I want to call you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are weak and he is strong. You are unable to save yourself, but God is fully able to save you. You can't do anything, and nor can your mom and dad, and nor can the pastor, and nor can your church do anything to save you from eternal hell, but Jesus alone can. Trust in him. Trust in him. Number two, boys and girls, I would call you to read your Bible daily. Many of you can read. Some of you are learning to read. And as you are able, read your Bible daily. Think of it like this. You eat food each day, don't you? You eat food each day. Well, in a similar way, it is so important for you to eat and receive the spiritual food of God's word. Boys and girls, third, pray to God humbly. Pray to God humbly. God loves to hear the prayers of children. He wants you to pray to him. He wants you to thank him. He wants you to tell him what you want. Number four, boys and girls, obey God fully. Don't follow your own heart. You need to obey God with all of your heart. And boys and girls, I want to call you to fifth, serve your church faithfully. Serve your church. There's a lot of men and women here who would love for you to come alongside of them in different areas of need and different areas of service when we're together. I think of the young boy James. I was reading a small little book by James Stewart. He came to know the Lord Jesus as a young boy, and he began sharing the gospel with people when he got home from school in the afternoon. He would sit on the steps by his home. He lived in the city, and he would sit on the stairs, and as people would walk by, he would share the gospel, and he would give people a gospel tract. And he said, "I am the delivery boy for Jesus, because I'm taking the message to others." James Stewart. Boys and girls, the greatest thing that you could hear tonight is you could hear me saying to you, but much more importantly, the Lord saying, "Let the little children come to me." Parents, I want to give you a word as well with some parenting implications. You have them there right before you. But number one, parent, let me just exhort you to bring your child to Jesus every day. Bring your child to Jesus every single day. Beg Jesus to touch your children savingly. To touch them savingly. God, I can't do this, but God, you must do this. Parent, permit the children to come to Jesus openly. What does that mean, parents? Don't put a hindrance. Don't put an obstacle. I think the greatest obstacle is hypocrisy. I think the greatest obstacle is saying one thing with your lips, but unpreaching it with your life. I think it's so important for us to permit the children to come to Jesus as we set the godly example. Not a perfect. That includes confession. It includes repentance. It includes humility and coming before them with grace. Number four, parent, let me exhort you to remember God can save your children early. Our God is able. It's not a matter of your children. It's a matter of the ability of God. He's able to save our children. Number five, parent, let me exhort you to emulate childlike faith dependently. Just like we tell our children to obey us, to trust us. Let us have that kind of dependence upon God as well. That we depend upon Him, that we follow God, that we rely upon God. Number six, parent, trust God's tenderness confidently. God loves my children and your children more than we do. He loves our children. He loves the souls of our children more than we do. So then, let's love our children to Jesus and lead our children to Jesus. This is one reason why, just personally, as the leader of my home, I want to put my kids under the Word of God as much as we possibly can. So if it's family worship each day, if it's the midweek prayer meeting, if it's Sunday catechism, Sunday worship service, if it's another occasion, I want the kids to be there. I want them to hear the Word of God. I want them to be under the power of the teaching and preaching of the gospel from the Word of God. Spurgeon would say this to all of us who are parents. He would say, believe in the conversion of children as children. You need to believe that the Lord can call them by His grace. You need to believe that God can renew their hearts and that God can give them a part and a share among His people long before they reach the prime of life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do that and save our children? I want to give a couple of pastoral thoughts to our church family, all of us, not just the children. I'm going to come back to the kids in a moment. And not just to the parents, but even to the whole church. Younger, older, single, married, all of us, every church member, a few pastoral thoughts. Number one, if I could lovingly call all of us to invest in the future by investing in the children. Invest in the future by investing in the children. How do we do that? Here's some practical ways. Number two, welcome and greet the kids by name. You've got a sheet of paper. We're going to pray through them in a little bit. But get to know their names. You're not going to get all of them overnight, and that's fine. But get to know their names. Greet them. Express your love for them and your care for them and your gratitude that they're there at the gathering of the saints. Number three, church family, I would encourage us to engage the kids in conversation, pointing them to Jesus in an age-appropriate way, and certainly in a way that is very winsome in a way that is very evangelistic, in a way that is very loving. Invite the children to see the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I've been walking with Jesus for all these years, you can say. Let me tell you about how faithful He's been. Number four, church family, consider writing letters. A simple little card, a simple little letter with a kid's name on it, mailing it to them, could make their year. A card, a letter, taking them out perhaps age appropriately and perhaps with others or with the parents, just to express the care and love and excitement for the children. And certainly, number five, church family, to pray for the kids. Oh, to pray for them and to pray for the parents and to pray for the families. I think number six, we would do so well to pray and beg God to raise up preachers from this church. For God to raise up evangelists from this church. For God to raise up missionaries in this church. For God to raise up men and women of God who will serve Him with their lives. Church, I believe those are some things that we can do, that we can prayerfully consider, so that we can actively play a part in caring for the next generation. Boys and girls, if I can have your attention again for a moment. Kids, look at me for a sec. I want to talk about this great, great gift of salvation that we often talk about and preach on, and Jesus describes in the Bible. The Bible talks about salvation like birth. It's something new that happens. It's something new that comes into the world like a little baby, something that is so precious and there's so much joy and excitement and life that's there. The Bible calls a new Christian someone who is born again. Boys and girls, believing in Jesus is like the wind. You don't see the wind, but you see what the wind does. You don't see when God saves someone. We can't see the invisible working of God in the heart, but you can surely see when God has saved someone. God will change that person's life. God describes salvation in the Bible like a washing. Imagine where you've got a chalkboard and all the marks on the chalkboard, and God comes and He erases all of it and He makes it clean. That's what salvation is like when a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus. It's like turning around. The Bible calls salvation like a turning around. You're walking one direction, but you realize I'm going the wrong way. And you've got to turn around and start walking the other direction. That is a picture of salvation and repentance. And when a person does that, boys and girls, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, and when He mercifully saves you, then you have this ongoing life of walking with Jesus every day of your life. And the Bible describes that like erecting a building. It's one brick upon another. One brick. You're building the building little by little. It's like building a house upon the rock. You don't want to go to the beach and build a house on the sand. It's not going to last very long. You want to build it on a good, strong, rocky foundation. Just growing in Jesus is kind of like a baby. A baby that is growing from milk to solid food, then later on to meat. You don't give a newborn baby a steak. That's not going to be helpful. They grow little by little over time. And that's like the life of the Christian as well. Walking on a long journey, one foot in front of the other, boys and girls, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him as Savior and commit your life to walking with Him. I want to give boys and girls two more brief words here. Two more brief words. Boys and girls, God would say to us that you need to seek the Lord. You need to seek the Lord. How do you seek God? You say, well, how do I seek God? Number one, seek God in His book. Seek him in his book, and the book is the Bible. Number two, you seek God in his house, the church. And then you seek God in prayer. You want to seek God in prayer. I firmly believe, along with I'm sure every other man and woman here tonight, who would love to say that seeking Jesus in your life, boys and girls, it is the safest way to live life. It is the happiest way to live life. It's the best way to live life. I didn't say always the easiest way, but it's the safest way, the happiest way, and the best way. And I want to close tonight with five brief pieces of advice from Pastor Jeff to all of the kids. And moms and dads, you'll agree with this, and church family, you'll agree with this. And I have a reason for saying this, because I have another call here after this. But boys and girls, hear this. Number one, if I could give you counsel for life, number one, always remember God is watching you. Always remember, boys and girls, that God is watching you. In all of your play, in all of your schooling, and everything you do, always remember the eye of God is upon you. God hears everything and he sees everything. Boys and girls, say nothing that you would not like God to hear, and do nothing that you would not like God to see. Boys and girls, number two, if you can listen to this as well, children, don't be angry, but be patient and humble. You've heard that a lot from your moms and dads. Don't be angry, but be patient and humble. In all of your play, in all of your work, keep a humble attitude. Be kind and cheerful and unselfish and good-natured, even when you lose. Don't fly into an angry passion, but you need to keep your temper. Boys and girls, let me give you a third word of encouragement from Pastor Jeff to you, and I know your mom and dad would agree with this. Number three, don't waste your life, but work hard and serve God. Don't waste your life, but work hard and serve God. Don't neglect work just to play around. Let all of your play help you to learn better, to be better, to be increasing in knowledge and wisdom. Number four, you need to know that only Jesus can give you true happiness. Only Jesus can give you lasting happiness. You need to know that. Sports, grades, relationships, toys, all the things of this world might make you happy for a moment, but only Jesus will make you happy forever. Number five, boys and girls, here's my final word of counsel briefly. Number five, obey your dad and your mom. Children, obey your dad and your mom. I think the greatest fruit of true salvation is when a young child says, I want to obey God by obeying my dad and mom in the sphere where God has put me. But you know what, boys and girls, in all those pieces of counsel that I just gave you, guess what? You can't do it on your own. You can't. You can't do it. And that's why I said that the way that I did, boys and girls. Yes, those are good pieces of counsel, but you can't do it. You can't. You need Jesus. And behold, the arms of Jesus are out again, saying, let the children come to me. Children, this very night, you could say, Lord, I need you to save me. Lord, I want to enter heaven. Lord, I want to be a child of the King. Lord, I want to have the assurance of eternal life. I want to be forgiven. Children, don't put it off. You have a quote there on the end of your outline. It's by J.C. Ryle. I think I put it there. Maybe I didn't, but I thought I did. J.C. Ryle said it like this. He said, dear children, I'll close with this. Remember what I say this very night. If ever you would be happy in this world, you must give your hearts to Jesus and follow him. Give Jesus the entire authority of your soul and ask him to be your Savior and your God. And then you will be happy in this life and in the next. Boys and girls, the Savior has a great love for little children. look to Him, trust in Him, believe upon Him. And He is not only able to save you, but He is desiring to save you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time around Mark chapter 10 and the many practical applications of learning of Your great love for the children. May it be that we as a church family would pray and often, as it were, even as parents, bring our children to Jesus that You might savingly touch them and bless them all by Your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.